Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 187. Thank you for being a part of the show. Today's episode is brought to you by you, 22 Podbean patrons and counting. And if you would like to support the show and become a GTR good friend, click on the show notes. And thank you. Thank you for listening, for sharing, and sending the podcast to a friend. I'm grateful for that. And if you are a sharer, I think today's episode is going to be a good one to send out because it's all about the Bible, sacred scripture with special guest Sonia Corbett. She is a Catholic convert. Boy, does she have a story. She'll get into it and share. You might already know it, but it's always so electric to hear her talk about how the Lord seized her, how she came in from Southern Baptist living in the South to the Catholic Church, and then as a speaker and now known affectionately as the Bible Study Evangelista. Well, she has a new book out and a really ingenious way of reading the Bible that could transform the way you study scripture. So we'll talk to her. Also, Arise VIP tickets officially on sale. I think at last look, we have about two left, two remaining. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. Awesome, exciting, amazing is about how to best describe the ticket launch. Just so grateful to thank you. In fact, I want to give you a little sneak peek, a preview of our worship leader for the Arise Retreat weekend. This is Ellen Wallenfeng. She's going to be joining us as our worship leader and lead us in praise and sacred hymns and music during adoration and Mass. And we're really thrilled to have her. She is the daughter of Dr. Donald Wallenfeng, a professor of theology and philosophy at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. Her mom, Megan, is a talented musician, so the apple did not fall far from the tree on both counts. And this clip is really special that you're about to hear because she actually drove from Michigan to my trusty producer, Mark's studio, to record this particularly for the podcast, for the program, for you. So I want to end today's show by playing that for you in full. I thought it would just be a nice outro to tack on to the end of the program. And then you can listen to it whenever you need a mini retreat. Take in the words, imagine yourself away at Arise, the whole deal. For now, though, here's just a taste of Ellen Wallenfeng. I'll give thanks. Check it out.
In the morning you sing over me, and I receive your mercy. Your faithfulness is clear to see. It's like the sunrise, it's constant every day. Every breath I breathe, an invitation to believe you are creating something good. Though the season doesn't tell my story, I believe you'll move mountains for me. 'Cause you're just that good. So I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause he's more than enough.
I'll have enough, because he's more than enough. And that is just a snippet of the song. I think I've listened to that probably 50 times, maybe more. We'll play the whole thing through at the end of the program, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of what Ellen sounds like, setting the musical tone for Arise, June 5th through the 7th, 2020. And just a reminder that general admission tickets will go on sale October 22nd. Those are $395 for the all-inclusive weekend, lodging, meals, program, goodie bags, you're good to go. And again, two tickets, I think, left for VIP. And all those details are in the show notes. Just click the link for Arise, and we hope to see you.
It's Brooks. Oh, it's Brooks.
All right, well, come on in. I don't even know where to start. I just actually myself returned from retreat, and I realized I need to do that at least once a year, no question. And it doesn't even need to be long. I don't know if you've had this happen where it's 48 hours, maybe 24 hours, and I'm a new woman. It doesn't need to be a week. It's just a little time away does wonders for the soul. So I've hit the reset button. I have felt a shift in the right direction. And there's a whole story about the retreat and how that all unfolded. And I hope to get to that. I don't know, maybe in the next episode, in the next podcast. We're so crammed with today's show. Just wanted to mention, though, that it was fantastic. And the timing of it was good, too, because I had shared the Alleluia Ball coming up. Just kind of nervous about this event. It was with Cardinal Dolan and Bishop Perez. In fact, every priest and religious in the Diocese of Cleveland was invited. And I don't know how many ended up coming, but it was a tremendous turnout. There were over 1,000 people at this event. Was really blessed to MC. The fundraising efforts were phenomenal. Over $1.3 million raised for the Catholic Community Foundation of Cleveland. And that means Catholic charities and Catholic schools. And I have to tell you this really quick, incredible story about my friend, Pastor Linda Isaiah. I asked her to go as my guest. And like my heart was so mixed because I was super excited that she was able to go. Also, totally bummed that Jim couldn't go. We had some scheduling conflicts, a babysitting conundrum. So God bless him for holding down the fort. But my friend Linda went, and wouldn't you know, she received a healing. We were in the hotel room getting ready. I was really blessed to have the ladies that do the makeup for Miss Wheelchair USA glamorize me. I guess that's the phrase, glamorize. I'm saying in air quotes. So it's this beautiful place called Serenity. So Tammy and Leah, they're from Serenity. They met me. And so while they were doing my makeup, Linda was in the room and not feeling well. She was getting a migraine. And then the first thing that started the evening was Mass. So we went to Mass. And as we were going into the room, she is telling me, I can't even see out of my one eye. And this migraine is really digging in. And so through Mass, I just was kind of looking over at her, making sure she was okay. By the end of Mass, she was feeling a little bit better. And then we were escorted in to just spend some time with Bishop Perez and Cardinal Dolan. And you know what? By the time we left that room, she said, Brooke, I had a healing. And Cardinal Dolan loved Linda. I just was flapping in the breeze. He just wanted to talk to Linda. In fact, if you see the picture that's posted on social media, it's really funny because he couldn't even be bothered to smile because he was such in deep conversation with Linda. And so me and Bishop Perez are just kind of standing there smiling, but it was a wonderful experience. What a blessing it was for all of us. Linda was in tears, and just the whole night really was. I was so nervous, and I was up on the podium and my legs were physically shaking. And I think that's a blessing I realized in all of our lives. When you do something long enough, you automatically just go into muscle memory or autopilot. And it really was a good lesson for me because in the end, I don't think anyone could tell that I was nervous. I don't think anyway. And I was pleased. I think that I did a good job. But honestly, it's because I just automatically went into what I know. And I was relating that, especially when you hear this interview with Sonia today, to how the more we study scripture, the more words don't fail us. The Holy Spirit works through us and he gives us the words. When we steep ourselves like a tea bag in the hot water every day of our lives in those words, so we don't have to worry that our mind or our heart or our words are going to fail, because they will be there. It will just automatically kick in. And I just thought that was such an awesome reminder of how God works when we put in the work. And on that note, let's jump in.
Today's program is all about praying like Mary. What a thought. The Mother of God, Queen of the Angels. And she has many titles. One of them, though, did you know, is Mother of Listening. We're going to get into that with today's guest. She didn't just hear the word. She knew how to ponder it in light of her own relationships and habits and then let it transform her. So today's guest offers beautiful insight on that with her new book called Pray Like Mary. The author is the Bible study evangelista, author, speaker, Catholic convert. We'll get to that too. Sonia Corbett, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Brooke, for having me.
I'm smiling a little bit as I was reading your bio just now, because as a former Southern Baptist, here you are with a book about all things Blessed Mother. Did you ever see that coming?
Never. Never in a million years. I have found since that this is true for a lot of converts that they really have an issue with her to begin with, and I'm no different. I really did. It was very, very difficult to ever come to this. I mean, it could have only been because she was so patient and so gentle.
So there's a story there. I heard in, maybe it was the Coming Home interview, you were on EWTN about your story, but one of your stories sharing that she reached you where you were, which was scripture, and you fell in love with her through reading the Bible.
Yes, and honestly, it was kind of a long road, and I share this in the book, that my bishop, I went to confession with my bishop, and he said to me, in the middle of this confession that had absolutely nothing to do with Mary, he said to me that my relationship, the measure of my Catholicism is relationship to Mary. And I remember leaving there going, why in the world would he even say that to me? It had absolutely nothing to do with what I was confessing or anything like that. And it just was one of those things that was definitely providential in the Holy Spirit, because it stuck. And it was just impossible to get away from. I didn't do and endure and persist through all the things that I did and endured and persisted through to just be a half Catholic. It was so difficult to even come into the church. And so to have him say that to me, it was a challenge. And yet it took me a long time to ever really get to the point where I was open enough to just approach her herself. And it's not that, you know, I think that converts have like a personal issue with Mary. We've never heard anything about her, and it's very discouraged in denominationalism. So it was just such a foreign idea. And I finally, you know, my style is just to ask. So I finally just went to her and I said, look, I'm happy to learn, but I don't get you. I don't get any of this. So it's a little weird for me, but if you're willing to teach me, I'm willing to learn. And of course, you know, as well as I do, that just invites her, you know, and she did. She took me by the hand, and she connected with me in the one area that really it was just beautiful. It seemed to me that she personally wanted to connect with me in the one place that I really love as a Christian. And so that was in the Word of God. And I was floored that she shared that with me.
And this sweetness, where now in this book, you combine both your love of sacred scripture and Our Lady. So tell us about the concept of the book.
Well, that's actually where it came from. When I invited her to kind of teach me, I just wanted to know who she was. You know, I didn't want to hear part of what's a turnoff for a convert, or it was for me, but I've read this from other people too, is reading the writings about Mary in the church. Sometimes they are so overly sappy and just sugary, and you're just, it's like, blah, you know, you just don't want any part of it. And I got the whole head part. I understood the doctrines. I understood the dogmas. I understood why she is who she is. It just was, just could not make the heart connection. My whole personality is a little bit turned off by anything overly emotional. Oh. And it seemed that so much of what was attributed to her was just emotion. I mean, and I know that's not true, because the dogmas and the doctrines of the church concerning her are very rich and very meaty. So, you know, I don't know. It's just the experiences that people shared that I read in their writings and even in their testimonies and stuff. It just was a little bit of a turnoff. So I wanted her to tell me who she was. I wanted her to show me who she was. I wanted to know her. I wanted to get to know her like I would you or any other friend. You know, and she was willing to do that. And when she showed me her own relationship to the scriptures, I was just floored. I had never imagined in a million years that we would have had something like that in common. And so that was really the beginning. And it really kind of still chokes me up, as you can tell, just because it was just so sweet. It was so sweet of her to approach me there.
I love that. And even for Catholics, that their whole life has been an easy entry into Mary's mantle, it's still so beautiful the way you set it up in the book, how Mary was a daughter of the scriptures, obviously her Magnificat and her life, and then going into how she was the house of the Word of God, her womb. So it just was, when you share that discovery, something I think that we rediscover as readers as well.
I hope so. And that was my prayer as I wrote the book, is just to be able to share with people something that I don't think Catholics even imagine about her. And so that's my whole ministry is based on that, is helping Catholics not only get their feet wet in something that may have been intimidating, but also to really dare to plunge into the scriptures. And what she shared with me through Love the Word, the L-O-V-E, listen, observe, verbalize, and trust, what she shared with me there was so simple. Anybody can do it. I've been teaching my son, my youngest son, who is 13 now, he's been doing Love the Word for 3 years. It's simple enough for a child, and it should be. It should be that simple, because she is so humble and so simple herself and so transparent. It's so like her to give us that kind of tool, you know, to be able to use. So, you know, you don't have to worry about the Latin of Lectio Divina. You just have to remember L-O-V-E. It's really that simple.
I want to get into that. So you kind of combine, I mean, first of all, again, your love of scripture, and through that, what it seems like Our Lady gave you, like Lectio Divina, but it's different. It's this acronym, as you just mentioned, love. And I'd love to just go down each letter, if you don't mind, and talk about that. The first you mentioned is listening.
Yes. And that's, I never considered that this was kind of odd until someone mentioned it to me, that when we approach prayer, we usually approach prayer with words. We want to say something. And instead, what Mary shows us is the first key is to listen, because God is already speaking. We just don't know how to hear him. And we're not used to listening for his voice. We don't know where it is. We don't know how to understand it. And so she models for us how to do that. So the first letter in the acronym for love is L, and it's L for listen. So we approach the scriptures on a daily basis through the readings of the church. Mary herself would have prayed those fixed hour prayers of Judaism, which is why when she prayed, when she finally did actually express herself to God verbally, what came out of her was scripture. It was, the Magnificat is based on the Old Testament and the Psalms, the book of Hannah, the Song of Hannah, and some of the Psalms. And so she had prayed those prayers enough that she had acclimated the scriptures until they were part of who she is. And that, I think, is really how she was able to incarnate that word that she received from God. And she would have been in her daily discipline and praying those scriptures. She's listening then. She's listening for the Word of God, and the Word of God comes to her. And when she receives it, she knows what to do with it. She sits and she observes. So the next letter in the acronym is O. So L is listen, O is observe. And what is she observing? She's observing, according to Pope Francis, her relationships and circumstances. How does the word that she's just heard apply to the people around her and the circumstances that she's experiencing in her own life? So first, we listen for God's word in the gospel. If we don't have time to do all of the readings, and some of us don't, just read the gospel. The gospel for the Mass every single day takes less than 5 minutes. And if we're listening for his word there, he's speaking every day. And so we listen, we observe our own relationships and circumstances, and then we verbalize back to God what we think that might mean. So V is for verbalize. And when Mary did that, she did it with Elizabeth. When Elizabeth expressed her understanding of what Mary was experiencing, that's when Mary verbalized to God in this beautiful Magnificat that is actually part of our liturgy now. It's that important. And then what does she do after she has verbalized? She entrusts it all back to God. May it be done to me according to your word. And so how can we say that with her? May it be done to me, Lord, according to your word, if we are not in the word. And so she receives the word from the angel because she's listening. She's observing her own relationships and circumstances. She understands what it means. It means that nothing will be impossible. Then she verbalizes through the Magnificat, and then she entrusts it all back to God. And in so doing, the word became incarnate in her, and she was able to give it to the whole world. Mm. And that's what we want.
And so the idea is to sit and implement this protocol as we read scriptures. And I want to go back to L, which is listen, because a part of that that I love you emphasize is stillness. And you have to have silence to have growth. But depending on where we are in our life, we may think silence is a luxury. I have all these children, or I have a demanding job or caregiving. Any ideas for creating a strategy that will dispose ourselves to that first letter in love, to listening?
Honestly, it's just like every other habit that we're trying to build. So I mentioned in the book that we should plan for it to take 40 days. 40 days in the Bible is the number of gestation. So when we're trying to begin a new habit, we should plan on it taking at least 40 days. Also, we have to come to it knowing that God promises that He'll meet us there. So if we'll be disciplined for those 40 days in a small, just a small way. I was very fortunate as a non-Catholic to have been This has been drilled into me since I was very, very young, that in order to have a relationship with God, you have to set aside time for Him. And so when I began to do it, I didn't have children, and that was easy for me then to build that habit. But as you said, not everybody's there, and our lives are crazy. Honestly, that's the reason I say plan for 5 minutes every single day for 40 days. Everybody has 5 minutes. Everybody does. And if you can't find the silence there, then the scriptures tell us that His mercies are new every morning. The Psalms are full of how King David talks about his prayer life, and he says that he meets God first thing every morning. And so if we have to get up extra early, you know, to get that little 5 minutes in, then that works. I honestly, the shower for me when my kids were really little and everything was crazy, the shower was about the only quiet time I had.
That's holy
so,
water.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And if you read the gospel and then jump in the shower, you've got 10 minutes there that you can just mull over it.
Yes. And I love your quote, Mary incubated the word in her womb for 40 weeks, and that living things grow in a womb of silence. And
yes.
We know liturgical significance of 40, Jesus, a time of fasting in the desert, Lent. But 40, and you really lay this out, is really a biblically significant number in so many ways. So I love applying that. And then you go on to that praying this way helped you heal from your father wound, which is extraordinary to me. That reminder that scripture is acceptance of the cleansing of our hearts of certain false images. So you implementing this technique, going over this, reading scripture, helped heal a wound that was there your whole life.
Yes, it did. And that was part of what was so shocking. I don't know how other people approach prayer, but I always thought, you know, God's going to tell me how bad I am, or He's going to give me some big job to do. But it wasn't what I thought. What it really was is He is interested in those wounds that we all carry. And that was the very first thing He began with me on, because it affects your whole life. And so what I have discovered in the years since beginning this practice is when we're thinking and observing our relationships and our circumstances in light of the scriptures that we're reading, God is interested in the mess of those. He's interested in the pain of those and the toxicity sometimes of those. And that's where He begins. And I think sometimes that's why we don't want to be still and quiet, because we don't want Him to deal with us in those places. But we can never be free. We can never receive the freedom of God as His children if we don't allow Him to do that. And He's so gentle. I like to say that He will not break the bruised reed of me. The Bible says that the Messiah will not break a bruised reed or quench a flickering wick. And so the smallest flame, the tiniest stick of a scent that we will give Him, He won't break it. He's so gentle. He can tell you the absolute truth and put His finger right on the issue. And it is painful to look at the truths of those sometimes, but it's the sweetest pain ever, because you're completely bathed in His love through the whole process. And so I was very shocked that that's where He started. And that has been and will be probably forever through the rest of my life. We will be working on that wound and working it out.
Well, I really appreciate it because you do share a story honestly, in a very personal way, about when your son left. It was an argument, and it was, again, going back to scripture as well as the sacraments and prayer. And you also interweave so many beautiful saint quotes in the book. But you talk about that and these events of our lives and how they unfold. As a mom of older kids now, really appreciated that you added that. It's messy. Our lives are, but God redeems. And scriptures, this is why they are ever ancient, ever new. They continue to speak to us.
They do. And what's really interesting for me, and the reason that I added that, is because as long as I've been practicing Love the Word, as long as I've been doing this, I'm still using it and it's still working. Just today, I got a whole bunch of stuff today. It was kind of a breakthrough for me today in morning prayer. But I shared that story because my son is 21 years old now, and I have worked through that father wound. And so I had no idea that what was happening with him and my relationship with him was actually rooted in that wound all over again. You know, I was a little bit frustrated, actually. You know, I'm like, Lord, can we seriously still be working on this? And he's kind of laughing, you know, yeah, because now I love my son, and now he's an adult, and now he has his own opinions, and he voices them very vociferously sometimes. And so, you know, I had no idea that relationship could also, the tension in that relationship could also be rooted in that wound. And it was, I had no idea, but the Lord pointed it out in the scriptures, and I tell that story. And I, you know, I thought it was also that it was a problem with my husband and my son, but it turned out it was more mine than theirs.
Well, and it's true because of the examination of conscience that our church calls us to as well. And I think combined with scripture and, you know, the speck in your brother's eye and the log in our own eye, it really does become evident. There's the litany of humility. You know, all of these things work together in such a beautiful union. And you're right along with it in what the Holy Spirit has revealed and shown. So you have love, listen, observe, verbalize, and trust, the way you read scripture. But then there's two other acronyms that you introduce. Can you explain FIAT and how that can help us observe?
I absolutely loved this. This is not something that I actually came up with. It was a book that I read called Prayer and Temperament by Michael and Norsey, and they put forward these four prayer temperaments that are aligned with our, like, Myers-Briggs tests that sometimes we take in our employment or in churches or whatever. And so they had them in a different order. They gave us Augustine, Ignatian, Thomistic, and Franciscan. And as I was looking at that one day, I thought, oh my gosh, if you rearrange those first letters, they spell fiat. And so I go through in the book and I explain a little bit of what each of those temperaments looks like when we pray. And so the Franciscan is a social justice warrior often. They like to be outdoors. They like to have their hands on doing stuff for people. And they can be very spontaneous. They can make these enormous, like St. Francis did. He left everything behind and he went to be poor so he could help rebuild God's church. So very spontaneous, grand gestures of generosity. They're very capable of that. And then I would be Ignatian. And the easiest way to explain that is just that we place ourselves in the narrative and we imagine with all of our senses what we're seeing and smelling and tasting and feeling. And in all of those ways, imagining ourselves in the narrative so that we can glean, you know, sort of an experience of God there. And then A is Augustine, and he was big on how does this apply to me? What has this got to do with my life? So, and I'm Augustine mostly. And so that's
just the pragmatic cerebral.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like what's this, what's the point? That's always my question. What's the point of this? If there's no point, why are we doing it? So that's Augustine. And then Thomistic is who, what, where, when, why, and how. He's very cerebral. And I am more Augustine than Thomistic, but I have a lot of Thomistic too. And so I also want to know all of those things, who, what, where, when, why, and how. And so that spells fiat, Franciscan, Ignatian, Augustine, and Thomistic. And each of us has one or a combination of these prayer and temperaments. And sometimes if you don't know what they are, you get frustrated that you're not able to do the ways of prayer that the church has often prescribed. And I have seen that a lot, especially with the Thomistic temperament, that they, those kinds of people, if they're really in their heads, they can't imagine themselves in a narrative. They can't see it. They can't visualize. And so, you know, but that Ignatian examine is one of those things that, you know, the church just really hammers for us because it's so good for us. But if you understand that you're Thomistic, then it's, you don't feel guilty because you can't do it well. Right.
Well, I love it too. Right. And even hearing most of us will say, okay, yep, I latch on to that. I know which one I am. I know in our RCIA classes, in our faith formation for the young adults, they have that at our church and you take a quiz and this is what you are. But you really take it into a meditative state at the end of your book. I think it's the Wedding of Cana that you bring us into and observing and reflecting on how these forms would be played out. It's really beautiful.
Well, thank you. I'll say this too, that what's so beautiful about Lectio Divina or Love the Word is that it engages all four of the prayers, the prayer temperaments. So no matter what you are, there's a place for you to land and feel comfortable doing it. And that's why being in the scriptures is so important. It's not just for Dominicans or geeky people, you know, like me. It is meant to be prayer. And that's where the church says to begin. When the church says begin in the scriptures, what she says is Lectio Divina. But Lectio Divina is Latin. It's got Latin terms. And sometimes if you're too in your head like I am, the whole time you're going, am I doing this right? Am I on the right stage? Should I be doing this? You know, and you're just, you can't relax into it. So Love the Word is meant to be a whole lot more simple way.
Well, we only have a few more minutes, but another great tool that I can't not mention is STOP, S-T-O-P. Can you explain about that?
Okay, so that was born out of Psalm 4:4, where God began to confront me, and I talk about it in the book. The very first thing he gave me was, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. And I knew when I read it, he was talking about me and my habit of anger and rebellion and rage. And right after that, I said, well, Lord, I can't help it. I don't even know where this comes from. You know,
well,
and so
he wound, right?
Oh yeah, totally. And he said to me in Psalm 4:4, yes, you are responsible, and yes, you should do something about it, and yes, I will help you. And so he was constantly bringing me to an acknowledgement of the truth of my sin, the wound underneath it that was causing it, and challenging me to trust him every step of the way so that not only could he heal me of it, but he could help me change the behavior. And so STOP is sin not, tell God, offer the right sacrifice, and put your trust in him. So sin, you know, not everybody has a vomit of anger and rage, but everybody has one. You know, we all have a go-to sin. The saints call it a predominant fault. We have a go-to sin that we fall into before we've even thought about it most of the time. And so that's what sin not is meant to, it's meant to stop it. You know, you sin not, you tell God about it, how you're feeling, where it came from, what's happening, and then you offer the right sacrifice, the whatever that is, you and God will work out in prayer, and then you put your trust in God. So S-C-O-P, stop. Stop the sin.
When you order your book, you receive a bookmark, and it has love, listen, observe, verbalize, and trust. It has fiat, and then it has stop. I think stop needs to be on bumper stickers. We all need that. All of it. It is so fantastic. You are such a gift to the new evangelization, the church, in inspiration, and just so thankful for your book. How can we connect with you?
The best way is BibleStudyEvangelista.com. I have a constant series going on all the time by podcast and radio, and I'm always writing too. So everything is really right there, BibleStudyEvangelista.com.
Thank you so much. Hope to have you on again and cannot wait to implement this method.
Yay, that's so good to hear.
Thank you again to my guest on today's show. Again, the name of the book is How to Pray Like Mary by Sonia Corbett. You can learn more about the BibleStudyEvangelista.com, her website, her apostolate. And may we all look to the mother of listening in our busy days to truly hear the word of God in our lives. Thank you so much for being with me today. Also, a reminder, if you're thinking about pilgrimage, if you're feeling called, and I go back to that even just in our conversation and thinking about Mary and Nazareth and her life, I automatically am transported to the Holy Land again. And if you want to go, if you're interested, the sign-up window is closing. November 1st is the deadline to sign up with the Holy Land Tour. Myself, Brother John Michael Paul, Select International. It's a Lenten pilgrimage, and we will be in Jerusalem on Ash Wednesday. We will walk the Via Dolorosa, the Way of the Cross, on the first Friday of Lent. And you can get all the information on the show notes. Just click that link. And if you're thinking about it, don't delay. Time and space are limited. And again, that cutoff is November 1st. And don't go anywhere, because that song from Ellen Wallenfang is coming up again. It's called I'll Give Thanks. God bless you, friends. Thank you to my producer, Mark, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire, so for any audio needs you may have, check him out at cominghomestudios.com. God bless you, friends. Until next time, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more, or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Coming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cominghomestudio.com.
Receive your mercy. Your faithfulness is clear to see. It's constant every day. In the morning you sing over me, and I receive your mercy. Faithfulness is clear to see. It's like the sunrise. It's constant every day. Every breath I breathe, an invitation to believe you are creating something good. Though the season doesn't tell my story, I believe you'll move mountains for me, 'cause you're just that good. So I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause he's more than enough and he knows what I need. So I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause he's more than enough. Silence, I choose to believe you're working in the waiting. Though the future isn't clear to me, no, I trust you anyway. Every breath I breathe, an invitation to believe you are creating something good. Though the season doesn't tell my story, I believe you'll move mountains for me, 'cause you're just that good. So I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause he's more than. So I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause he's more than enough and he knows what I need. Why do I worry? Why do I worry? what I need. So why do I worry? Why do I worry? Why do I worry? God knows what I need. Why do I worry? Why do I worry? Why do I worry? God knows what I need.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.